I was lucky enough to, well, actually, I shouldn't say lucky enough, but I got knocked out twice in 3 weeks when I was playing football. And the doctor said, Greg, I don't think you should be fronting up again to play football, otherwise it might be the last time. So invariably, one door closes, another one opens, and I took on umpiring up in the Yarra Valley Mountain District. And I progressed from there straight into the VFL senior list, which I was very fortunate. I didn't have to go through what they call the reserve grade back in those days, and was able to move right onto that senior list. And I think there were around about 90 umpires on the list at that stage back though in those days. And I had 11 years. I'm a life member of the AFL Umpires Association, so wow. Really enjoyed that and got a short time to umpire right at the top from 83 to 87, so umpiring senior league footy, but unfortunately injury forced me out right at the end.
Did
so
it really?
I had to give it away. Yeah, we're having a the old wheelbarrow race where, you know, someone holds onto your legs and you pedal along with your hands and things like that one night at training down there at Olympic Park, and I actually won the race as we crashed across the line, but then took them 3/4 of an hour to get me on a stretcher and get me off.
Were you the wheelbarrow, were you?
I was the wheelbarrow, and unfortunately the wheelbarrow broke down at the bottom of the back. So,
really? That sounds like an old-style training, doesn't it?
That's something from
the 70s or 80s. Can you remember much about your first senior game, Greg, at VFL game, and what it was like?
Yes, it was St Kilda versus North Melbourne, and being a St Kilda supporter, I was a bit daunted by that one, but very interesting. Players like Jimmy Cracker and Phil Cracker were running around for North Melbourne at that stage, and Wayne Schimmelbusch, he was the captain of North Melbourne. And there was an interesting thing happened. Schimmelbusch was a good player back in those days, and I remember one incident where Burns of St Kilda picked up the ball on the wing, ran round the wing, down the flank, did a blind turn, put his hand out and contacted Schimmelbusch, pushed off and swung round and kicked a goal. As I'm running back to the middle, Shimmer's come up to me. He said, "Greg, you should have paid a free kick to me. He pushed me in the throat." And I said, "Oh, yeah, might have just got you there." He said, "Yeah." And then he turned around. He said, "Yeah, it was a bloody good goal, though, wasn't it?" So here he was, the captain of North Melbourne, complimenting the way the St Kilda player had played.
And you actually paid a mark of the year, didn't you? Can you tell us that story?
Yes. Warwick Capper.
Who was he? Oh, that's right.
Back there in the Sydney Swans days. I played in North Melbourne at the MCG, and I'll never forget it because when you're only about 15 metres away, and he came in and he jumped on top of Steve McCann of North Melbourne, and he put his hands right on his shoulders, which you're not allowed to do these days, but weren't allowed to do it then either. And as he put his hands onto his shoulders, I must admit, my whistle went to my mouth. And I thought, this is, I've got to pay it. And I didn't blow it. And he went up and he went up and up. And I still had the whistle in my mouth. And then eventually he marked it. And I thought, oh, I'll blow this. I'm going to pay it. So I paid the mark.
You got a bit of a rap from the advisor then.
Yes, Jeff Crouch was the advisor and observer that day. And after the game, he came into me and he said, "Greg, I'm going to knock you off for that. You should have paid your hands on the shoulders." And he said, but it would have taken a brave man not to pay it. He saw the whistle in the mouth for half an hour.
I'm picking up a disturbing trend of you paying dubious frees against North Melbourne all the time, Greg. I say that as a North Melbourne supporter. So just picking up a little pattern there.
It was the toughest black umpire in terms of you. I think, geez, if I pay this free kick, I'm in strike.
Oh, there were a couple back in those days. Through that period, we had some magnificent characters. But the toughest guy, as in toughest player ever umpired, I'd have to say, was Lee Matthews. Lee was fantastic. He wouldn't talk to you. He wouldn't talk to the umpires at all. But shivers, did he cop heaps out on the ground. And I know he had that incident against Geelong there, but I could tell that Lee copped it and copped it and copped it, and he wouldn't give it back unless he'd really copped it probably five times over. So he was probably the toughest. But some of the other characters, the Mark Jacksons and Robbie Muir. I remember Robbie Muir paid a 15-minute penalty at a quarter time down at St Kilda one day. And there's Robbie's right beside it. I think I paid the free kick to Cunningham at St Kilda. And Robbie paced out the 15 metres for me. The crowd was roaring. He was Rob stepping out 15 metres all the way. They were funny guys. Billy Picken was one of the real characters. And Dipper, he'd be always talking to you and always a smile on his face. Fantastic. He came up to me one day at quarter time and we were just about to start the second quarter, and he's picked up the ball for me because I was just about to bounce it. And he held his hands and he looks at it and he says, "That's what it looks like. I haven't seen it all day."
What was I know security now for umpires is pretty tight coming on and off the grounds, but did back in the days of the old suburban grounds, did you have a few of those hairy experiences?
Oh, yeah. There were a few, actually. And MCG, I remember I came off the ground there one day, and it was a Richmond game. And as I got into the rooms, I realised there was someone right behind me. It was this big policeman. And I turned around and said, yeah, what's the go? And he said, did you see it? And I said, did I see what? And he said, well, you're not going to be any good to me in court, are you? You know, and then later on in the vision, as we're coming off the ground, a full can of beers come flying through the air and hit the ground. And the same thing happened at St Kilda. You might remember Gary Sidebottom and... back those days when he was playing for St Kilda.
No relation,
unfortunately. But a big beer can flew through the air and it flew right between me and Gary and hit the ground and the froth went everywhere. You knew there was a fair bit in the can. I'm glad it didn't hit me that day either.
And obviously you're still involved in umpiring, Greg, and I guess we'll have to cut to the chase a bit, but you're up in the Goulburn, you've come up to the Goulburn Murray or the Goulburn Valley, and you're very heavily involved here in a lot of different ways.
Yes, I've been the advisor for 5 years, and now Chris McKellum's doing a great job as the advisor up here now, but I've stayed on as the recruitment officer to try to help to get more people involved with umpiring. And in the meantime, I'm following another career. I'm trying to go back to the AFL, as a matter of fact. I'm back down there as a coach. So I drive to Melbourne every weekend to coach umpires back at the AFL. I'm on the senior list with the VFL, so keeping in touch with coaching that way.
You've got a young fella here from the Golden Valley Crusoe Show who's on a pretty good journey as far as the umpiring goes, Greg.
Crusoe Show's been a fantastic story, Phil. He's the GVUA is really proud of him. He's actually a real example on the track and actually on the ground as well. He's a really, really good umpire. And as you would have read in the papers the other day, he went to Perth and represented Victoria in the under-15 championships, and he was nominated the number one umpire for the carnival, which is one of his goals. And he's going to be really good. And I'll make a prediction right here and now that he'll umpire AFL football.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I've seen a lot coming through, but he really soaks up information. He really is a good. You can coach him very, very easily, and he takes it in, and he gets out there and performs as well.
Well, Greg, earlier in the year we had the Supercell Storm rip through Shepparton, which I think on a lazy Sunday afternoon you're probably kicking back, relaxing, when all of a sudden you were called to duty. Can you tell us a bit about how all that unfolded?
Yeah,
March, was it, Matt?
Yeah, March the 7th it was, at 4:48, I think it was, to be exact. Yeah, I was actually kicking back, and I was sitting in my rose garden having a beer, actually, and it was amazing to watch the clouds roll in from the north and come in from the west at the same time, and that's when they clashed and the two cells and sort of ended up with the wind swirling every which way. But we at the council, we're sort of responsible for emergency events, and within 1 hour I had 15 people at the depot with me, and I didn't have to ring them up. That's how good my people are at work. They all just came charging in. They knew there was going to be work to do, and we started and got on with it. And I think the last guy knocked him off at about 3 a.m. that morning. They just went right through. And the next morning, which was Labor Day, we had another 25 turn up at work. You know, completely, didn't have to ask them. You know, even though it's a public holiday, in they came because they wanted to be part of the service to the community. So
biggest job you've been involved in? Is that where that would rate?
Or? It rates right up there. The 93 floods also was a big one back in those days. I was involved with that one too. But now to see the reaction... It would be the best reaction, Phil, to be honest with you, the way the team got in and we got hooked in. And we focused on our roads first to make sure the public was safe, to get everything off the roads. And then we went on to our bike paths, and our footpaths were the next priority. And we left our parks. And we've still got a lot of parks out there with a lot of the tree stuff down, which we haven't even got to. I went for a walk yesterday and had a look at some. So we've still got a fair bit to do, but you can be up to a year cleaning up after something like that.
And from a media point of view, can I say, did a great job too in keeping the media informed and abreast of what was going on. So that was great that the message was out there to the public as to what actually was happening. And speaking of emergencies, Greg, or potential emergencies, where do we stand with the potential locust plague for the spring? Because I know you're going to play a part in that, and we heard in the rural report they're talking early hatchings, are they?
That's correct, yes. I was over at Charlton where the minister spoke to all the 22 councils. There's 22 of us that have been declared in this area that are going to be affected, and Minister Joe Helper said that if we do sit back and do nothing at all, we will end up with around about $2 billion worth of damage to horticulture and everything. So we have to do something. So they're calling it a war, and it's going to require everyone. I mean, the farmers, the council and DPI. And DPI, to their credit, they're exceptionally well prepared, and they're doing a great job. Early 2008, they did the same thing and got prepared, and it was a bit of a non-event. But this year, it's looking very bad, and there was a bit of an anecdote that went round. It could be as bad as 1934, where the locusts ate anything that was green. They were even eating people's green curtains, they were saying.
Yeah. So. And heartbreaking too. I mean, if we do potentially, from a grain point of view, you have potentially about to have a good season, and to see it wiped out by locusts would just be a
terrible thing. And we've got a seven-day window where everyone's going to pull together, and the farmers, they can go and get the chemicals. DPI are the main authority to speak to, but I know that they've stockpiled the chemicals, and the farmers can go and get them. Purchase them from dealers, obviously, and they'll get a full 100% rebate on the chemicals they use.
Are you still going to be able to umpire while all this is going on? Are you still, you're actually still out in the middle officiating?
I'm still trying to, but having to go to Melbourne every weekend, Matt, unfortunately I do miss out on a few games, but I sneak out there and run with the kids.
Have you got a game this weekend?
No, I haven't, unfortunately.
And you've got, I should ask you, Steel side bottom, the Collingwood player, any relation? Because he's obviously got a huge game this weekend.
It'd be easy for me to say yes, Phil, but no, I track the family tree and I can't quite get a connection, but his brother works with us at the council, Trent, so there must be a connection there somewhere.
He's going to be a good player, that
mate. He's going to be a great guy.
Hey, Greg, thanks for coming and having a chat. As I said, I reckon we could have had two conversation corners and we'd still be talking, yep. But it was great to have a chat to you and find out a bit about you, and thank you for coming in.
My pleasure, Matt and Phil. I really enjoyed it.
Good on you, Greg.